We're going to continue this morning looking at our series of being in the world, not of the world. And I hope that you've thought about that this week and really trying to think through with me that we as believers are in this world. We can't get around that. We can't get out of this world until the day the Lord takes us home. While we're here, we stand for Christ and separate from sin and from worldliness in general. Now, last week, if you can recall back, I don't even know what I preached last week. Okay, you can think back. What we talked about was that there are several things that we need to implement into our lives and keep if we're going to truly make a stand in this wicked world and stand out and be the salt of the earth and the light on the hill. One, we must trust God's word. Again, let me remind you of that. I know that that's a no-brainer, but we've got to stand on God's word. We've got to trust in his word. Number two, we must be aware of the accommodating theology that's out there today. Many churches are accommodating to the times. I heard of a preacher just this past week that had an actual Pride Day in their church on Sunday. Okay, friends, you know, we're trying to be nice to people, but that's not right. I don't know how else to put it, and I'm putting it very lightly here. That is not right. It goes against everything the Bible teaches, okay? Be aware of those things. Thirdly, we said that we must stand upon biblical convictions. We've got to have convictions. Listen, if you don't stand for something, what's the rest of it? You'll fall for anything, right? You're going to fall. People today claiming to be Christians, if you were to ask them something theological, they would say, well, I don't know. I don't know. What do you believe? Okay, we need to know that. Okay, now let's move ahead. 1 Corinthians 9, if you will, jump down to verse 19. Today I want to talk a little bit and move ahead with living the principled life. You and I, if we're going to stand in this world, if we are going to live for Christ in a wicked world, it's hard to do. Easy to say, hard to do. We've got to live the principled life. What does that mean? Well, Paul makes it clear to us here. Notice if you will, yes. In verse 19 of 1 Corinthians 9, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Next. Under the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I may have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Pause there for a minute. Paul is not saying I'm becoming like sinful people. I'm not going to the bar to reach the people at the bar. Okay, you understand that. Some people have used these verses for that. He's not saying I identify with sinners necessarily. He's saying I'm reaching people where they are. Now, let's continue to the weak. Oh, and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. Notice what he's saying. I don't run on a treadmill. Okay. I don't shadow box. You know, I'm in an actual fight, and I'm in an actual marathon. Okay. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. That Greek word there, castaway, a dokimos, means good for nothing. If I preach to you and then I go out and you see me messing around over here, you're going to go, I ain't going to listen to that guy. Paul was very cautious about this. Now, the topic I want to concentrate on this morning is that of the principled life. Do you live according to the principles and precepts of God's word? Well, what is a principle? Thank you for asking. A principle is a fundamental truth from the Bible that guides me on how to live and how to act. Paul makes mention of this, and we'll get into this in just a minute, but he says, all things are lawful to me, but not everything is expedient for me. That word expedient means beneficial. Am I able to go over here and hang out with the people over here at the bar and do the things that they do? Well, sure. It's not against the law. Not a big deal. But he says it's not expedient for me. I got to be careful about that. There's certain things in life, and I'm always I always go to Hebrews 12. If you know your Bible, Hebrews 12 is the chapter on primarily God's chastening hand upon a saved individual. We'll get to that later. But how does it start out? He says, let us lay aside every weight and sin that so doth easily beset us. A weight and a sin are two different things. People always try to make them synonymous, and they're not. A weight is not sinful. It's not sinful. But it's hindering you or holding you back from reaching your full potential for Christ. And what we have to understand as Christians is that God is working in our lives 24/7, 365 for what's called optimum potential. See, he doesn't do anything half-hearted. Well, it's okay, you're kind of lazy in that. It's okay if you missed church. It's okay if you didn't read your Bible. It's all right. That's not how God works. God is always working in your life and in mine for us to reach our optimum potential. Does that make sense? You know that. Okay, now, thinking about this. He says there's weights in our life and there's sin in our life. We have to differentiate between the two. Some people think the weight is a sin. Oh, it's so sinful. Well, it may not be. And vice versa, you know that. Now we'll get into that. There are principles in our lives we ought to follow. These principles that we talk about are defined not only as a fundamental truth from the Bible that guides my life, but moral rules that a child of God uses to dictate my conduct. The principles say, what do I do? Now, this is a question I'm asked often as a minister or pastor. And it often goes like this. Pastor Tim, I have something that I have a decision I have to make coming up this week. And I have to decide A or B. What do you think I should do? And they'll tell me. I'll say, well, tell me the situation. They'll tell me the situation. And some people can't decide. They don't have that discernment about them. Now, I want to encourage you to pray about discernment in your life. Number one, pray about it. Number two is you must spend daily time in this book, in the Bible, if you're going to have true discernment. If we get outside of the Bible, we start deviating into what? Our own understanding. Okay, you make your own rules and decisions. But if you come to a fork in the road like that in your life of what to do, should I do this or not? If it violates your conscience, if it gets into this realm of, I'm not sure if I should do it. If you hesitate, don't do it. If you go, I don't know if I should, I really want to do it, but I'm not sure. Don't do it, right? Don't do it. Because you're violating your conscience and you know that. God gave us that conscience for a reason. Saying this, that there's principles we must follow and live by. Paul says that I want to reach everybody I can for Christ, and I want to follow the Bible so that others can see the way. A true leader, by the way, if you're a child of God and you're saved this morning, you're a leader of other people. So, I'm not a leader. Yes, you are. It's not a choice. When you get saved, you become a leader. It's automatic. You're a child of the King. If you're a child of the King, you carry with you a lot of responsibility. There's an old adage that goes, heavy is the crown. You heard of that? People go, man, this crown is so heavy to wear. But you forgot it's still a crown. You're a child of the King. Not everybody has a crown to wear. You're privileged, okay? But sometimes it gets heavy. There's a lot of responsibility with that. Now, thinking about this, Paul says, I want to do all to the glory of God. Okay, I want to share with you just a few of these of what's called the principles we ought to follow in life. Number one, let's look at a few of these and see how far we can get this morning. Number one, we have the edification principle. This carries with it, will what I'm about to do produce spiritual benefit to me and those around me? Will it edify people? Will it edify me? Now, the edification that's talked about in the Bible, edifying means to build up, okay? Means to encourage. Are you edifying people around you? What you do, what you say, does it edify? Does it build up? Does it tear down? People see you at church and they cringe. They try to avoid you, you know? Oh, man. You dare not ask certain people how their week went because you're going to be there for 35 minutes, okay? I'm kidding. You dare not ask. I ran into a dear lady, elderly lady, doesn't go to our church, dear lady. Once again, I think I was at Walmart. I don't know what it's about Walmart. And I saw her, she made a beeline and I went. So, you know, she already saw me, so I couldn't duck behind. That would be rude, you know. So, hello, how are you? And it, you know, for, my wife's like, I'm going to keep shopping. I'm like, go ahead. Go ahead. I mean, we were there about 25 minutes. Mm-hmm, yeah. Sweet lady, praise her, bless her heart. Every time you talk about someone, you always got to preface it with bless their heart, right? Okay, the edification. Will this glorify? Now, let's go over, if you're still in 1 Corinthians, go to chapter 10 and verse 23. Chapter 10, verse 23. Notice what Paul continues to talk about here. All things are lawful for me. So nothing's restricted. It's not sinful. But all things are not, here's our word, expedient, beneficial. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. He says that I can do most things, but if it doesn't edify or build up other people around me, I don't want to do it. That's a principle we ought to live by. Well, don't hurt nobody if I do that or go there or listen to this. It might. I'm learning this lesson in life as our kids get older. What we as parents allow in moderation, what happens? Our children will take to excess or extreme, okay? Okay, here's a little, you can do that. Okay, that's fine. It's not sinful, but be careful. Why? Because they'll take it to the limits. So notice the edification. Will doing what I'm doing or doing this activity enhance my spiritual life and the spiritual lives of those around me? We must not exercise our spiritual liberty without any regard for the spiritual good of others. Well, am I my brother's keeper? Remember? Who said that? Cain. The Lord came down and said, where's your brother? Now, God already knew, right? We know that. He's omniscient. What was he doing? God always asked questions in the Bible. Jesus always asked questions in the Bible, in the gospel accounts, not to obtain an answer, to get us to realize where we are. See, God will do that with us. In the Bible, we read it and we go, Right? No, he says, I want you to see where you are. Am I my brother's keeper? Am I supposed to care for everybody else around me? I don't, you know, that's too much. It looks like living in a fishbowl, right? Everyone's watching. Oh, boy. We understand that our goal and emphasis is to lead other people to Christ. That ought to be your ultimate goal. And if that is your goal, that is your mindset, then you ought to realize and understand what I'm doing, what I'm saying, where I'm at, what I'm watching, what I'm doing. Is it edifying to others? Am I building others up? Paul emphasized the point that if something is not spiritually profitable, it's not worth doing. Does this spiritually benefit us? No, I wouldn't do it. It's edifying and edification. Let's continue. There's next the enslavement principle. This carries with it the idea that will this activity lead me to spiritual bondage or addiction? Enslavement. Go back to chapter 6 with me, 1 Corinthians 6. Now again, talking about this book of 1 Corinthians, primarily where we will be this morning, Paul's writing to a church, as you know, that was very, very confused. He had gone, and you know this, the church was planted, and then he got word back to him as he was continuing in his missionary journeys and other things. At times he was imprisoned and he was in jail and other places. Well, he got word back from some of his compadres. He said, did you hear about Corinth? He said, no, what? He said, they're messed up, man. There's all kinds of problems over there. There's all kinds of fornication, adultery going on in the church. They're so confused about the Lord's table. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to do with baptism. They're claiming to half the church is split over here. They're claiming you. And on this side, they're claiming Peter and all these things. And so he writes his first letter to 1 Corinthians as kind of a rebuking letter or a correcting letter. And as you read it, you know that. He says there's sin in the church that's not even named once among the Gentiles. That's unbelievers. There's sins inside the church that not even unbelieving people do. By the way, that's still true today. You hear about some of the things that these so-called pastors and ministers are involved with. In fact, just in the last 2 weeks, there's been about two or three major pastors that have fallen. Have you been following some of this? And they pastor churches in the thousands. They've fallen into sin. But you think about, and the things that come out and they find out about it, and they go, good night. Not even unsaved people do that. And so he comes back and he talks to this church in this first letter. He will later follow up with a second letter, 2 Corinthians, of more of an encouraging letter. Paul says, you're wrong. I'm going to write another letter and tell you how good you are. Okay, I love you and I appreciate you. This next principle is of enslavement. Notice 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12, what he says here. Very interesting. All things are lawful unto me. Here it is again. But all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me. Notice what he says though. But I will not be brought under the what? power of any. What is that? That's addiction. That's control. Now, everyone in here going, yeah, praise the Lord. Preach it, Brother Tim. Yeah, amen. Preach against that alcoholism, that drug use, and all those things like that. Oh, but we're all under the power of something, aren't we? I mean, we're looking forward to watching some games today, okay, and other things. And you're going, I mean, I'm right now, I could eat right now. I'm ready to eat. How many are ready to, I mean, I'm ready to go. I am ready to go. And any some of you ladies have been baking and cooking and haven't even called me. Okay, let me know if you're baking an extra loaf of something. Let me know. And I'm ready to go. I'm hungry. Sometimes we go, come to the power of those things. And Paul says, everything's lawful for me. I can do some of these things, but I will not allow it to bring me into bondage. It's enslave me, he says. Now, avoiding those things, those personal activities that might result in personal enslavement, okay, to avoid any habit that would be spirit-quenching or life-dominating. I remind you of Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, you don't have to turn there, but he talks about this. In one of the verses, in verse 18, he says this, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. He's saying don't be intoxicated, don't be drunk with alcoholism. And then he says this, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Now people use this, oh yeah, it's all about, he's preaching against alcoholism. Well, no, he's not. What he's doing is he's comparing. He's saying, don't be intoxicated with some outside substance. And then he says this. Here's a comparison. You ought to be intoxicated, pardon the word, but intoxicated with the Holy Spirit. Meaning what? Please don't raise your hand. But back when, okay, you used to get intoxicated, your personality changed. I mean, you take a real quiet people normally and give them some drink, they get real loud and they're the life of the party. And then you take somebody who's usually real talkative and real outgoing and you give them something to drink. And this isn't always true, but some of you are giggling. But yeah, it's real outgoing. And they give them some drink or some kind of drug or something, and they get real quiet. You know? I don't know why that is. And by the way, I don't know that by experience, okay? But I think Paul says, now listen, you should be literally filled with the Spirit, he says. Be led of the Spirit in such a way that it's almost like you're taken over. Now, again, we do not believe in speaking in tongues at our church. We do not. We believe that is a gift that ceased. And by the way, it was a known language. It wasn't mumbo jumbo. You could not find that in the Bible. It was a known language. Now, sir, if you can speak German right now under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, then praise the Lord. If you can speak Spanish immediately. I say this before, I often will just mumble things to my wife and she makes fun of me because she's teaching me Spanish. And I say, honey, teach me. So she says, okay, I'm going to just start talking to you in Spanish throughout the day. I say, great. Well, that lasts about an hour. And then I go, what are you saying? What you're saying? You know, comida, that's all I want. Como se dice carne asada? Amen. Okay, that's all I want. She's trying to teach me and I don't know what she's saying. But what I'm saying is he says you should be so filled with the Holy Spirit that it seems as if you're intoxicated with the Spirit in a way that there's something abnormal about you. Boy, you're usually, Brother Tim, you are not usually very nice. And you're nice today. You're not very friendly. You're not very outgoing. Well, what is it? Well, praise the Lord. I've been spending time with the Lord, Lord willing. Now, you understand what I mean. The enslavement principle. I do not want to be brought into bondage. I want to encourage you with this. There may be things in your life that are just like in my life too, that may be bringing you under its power. And it's hindering you from following God. It's hindering you. Now listen, I'm not just saying about substance abuse. I'm talking about other things. You know that. And I'm preaching to myself. Money, things, materialism, hobbies, work, making money, that can all bring us under their power. And I want to encourage you this week to take time with God and say, God, what is it that is going on in my life that I need to change, that I can then be filled with the Spirit and anointed with God, and that you have full control? Listen, I would love to make more money. I need it. But listen, God's not called me to do that. And I will probably die a poor man one day. I will probably be laid out here in our graveyard we're trying to build. My wife said, you're going to be the first one out there. I said, praise the Lord. Put me out there. Here lies Brother Tim. His dream never was accomplished. He's the only soul out here. Okay. I'm going to die a poor man one day. But thank God and praise God one day that I hope and pray that I'll stand before Christ and say, you were a poor, pathetic man in this life, but you served Christ faithfully. Amen. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now think about this. Okay, let's keep going and we'll get through a few more here and we'll wrap it up. There's also the exposure principle. This one carries with it that will I expose my mind and body to defilement? Now, is there things in my life that may do that? Now, if you're still in chapter number 6 there, go down to verse 19. Notice what he says. What? Question. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Notice the next verse. One of my favorite verses. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now think about that. What is the price on your head? What was the bounty on your head? It was pretty high. So high that you couldn't pay for it yourself. We talked about this on Wednesday. So high, Jesus Christ had to die on the cross and shed his blood for you. You're bought with a price. Don't ever forget that. God paid for you. He bought you. And notice what he says. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Now this principle of exposure to avoid anything that might defile them, Paul goes even further in Ephesians 4 to speak of to avoid those things that would characterize the wicked. You're actually identifying with the wicked instead of a child of God and being something faithful. Now the Holy Ghost should guide you. The Holy Ghost should direct you. And think about that. If the Holy Ghost is inside of you, which we believe at the moment of salvation, when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it's not of works. You didn't work. It's not because you tithe to the church, not because you joined the church. I love the song we sang this morning. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. Jesus said, he turns to Christ and says, Lord, remember me when thou enter into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, well, hang on, get down off the cross and get baptized. You must get down and join the church. You must get down and give your tithes. You must repent. No, what's he say? Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. At that moment of heart belief, we believe the Holy Ghost comes inside of us, as Paul says, and dwells within us. And by the way, he's not going to dwell within you when there's other things trying to take up your heart and your life. I have learned my lesson. I do not do unannounced visits to houses anymore. I used to show up at people's houses unannounced. And they'd peek through the blind. Who is it? It's Pastor Tim. And all of a sudden you hear him scrambling inside. I don't know why that is. I'm like, I don't care. I'm not going to judge you, you know. But they get real nervous. Okay, clean everything. You can hear him scrambling. And then after about maybe 2 or 3 minutes, they crack open the door. Yes? Can I help you? Good to see you. And I go, is now a good time? And they feel obligated, you know. Yeah, come on in. Trying to clear out, you know, the smoke. Things away. I'm like, I don't really care. It doesn't bother me. You think about, though, the Holy Ghost says, listen, I set up residence inside of you. And Paul says, because if you know that, if you understand it, we ought to avoid those things. And every time you do something sinful or that you know isn't right, you always feel that guilt. It's called conviction, right? And the conviction comes in, you go, I shouldn't have done that. That's the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit says, I don't want that in here. I'm already in here. Get that out of here. I want to lead you. Now, exposure principle carries with it. Will the decision I'm about to make expose my mind and body to the sinfulness of this fallen world? Go to Philippians chapter 4 with me real quick. Philippians 4 verse 8. Philippians 4 verse 8. Paul goes on to talk to the church at Philippi about what they should be dwelling on and thinking on. Some people say, well, what should I be thinking about? Notice what he says here. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, and underline this in your Bible, think on these things. I want to encourage you with this. Some people say, you don't have power over your mind. That's baloney. You have power over your mind. You have power over your thinking. Now, again, there's thoughts and things that come into your mind that sometimes we can't help. You ever have a thought, why did I think of that? Oh, man, that was a bad thought. And Charles Spurgeon, I believe it was, that coined the phrase. He said, listen, you can't help the birds flying over your head. You can't reach up and grab them. Get out of here. They're going to be flying over your head. But you don't have to let them make a nest in your hair. Okay, when that comes and you say, well, I don't want to think on those things. I'm going to think on all of these, have control over my mind. What are you allowing in? Your ears. What are you allowing in your eyes? What are you watching, listening to that's transforming you into literally a child of the world? Romans 12, he says we're to be transformed. We're not to be conformed to this world. I don't do anything that will violate my own convictions. Now let's continue on the esteem principle. To esteem this activity, will it benefit others or cause them to stumble? As we talked about, I don't want to cause other people to fall from grace. But this one goes a little further. Go over to chapter 8 with me. Chapter 8. And we'll wrap it up. We'll continue some of this next week, Lord willing. But 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 8. Notice what he says. As we think through, he says, I want to do all things that are glorifying to God, but I don't want to cause anyone else around me to stumble. Notice what he says here. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat are we the worse. Go to the next. But take heed lest by any means the liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. Do you see that? Your liberty, things you do, could become a stumbling block. Right? A stumbling, they don't understand it. Now, not a weaker brother, they're, you know, saying, oh, they're just weak. No, they're maybe a newer Christian. They didn't grow up in church. They don't read the Bible. They're still new, they're still fresh. We want to be very careful about what we do. In exercising our spiritual liberty, we must be sensitive to the weaker brother. We must be sensitive to him and to her. Now, we know that. That's kind of redundant. But then I want you to notice this one. The evangelism principle, and we'll be done. Will what I'm about to do hinder the gospel? Christians should always consider in their actions if it will affect their witness to a watching world. Listen to this quote. I love this. Paul was far more concerned with bringing souls to Christ than he was about his spiritual liberty. You know, a lot of Christians say, well, it's my right. I don't like people judging me all the time. Well, that's true. We should judge no one. God is our judge. But listen, with what you're about to say, ma'am, with what you're about to do, sir, what you're about to do, Brother Tim, is it going to hinder the gospel? Is it going to stop that? Well, if that's what a Christian is, I don't want nothing to do with that. If that's what that church is all about, I don't want nothing to do with that. There's no love, there's no compassion, there's no grace there. Is it going to hinder me? Paul goes on to talk about that he wants and desires only the salvation of souls and not his own liberty and not his own freedom. What does your life and activity say about God to those around you? Your testimony and mine either tells the truth about God or it tells a lie about God, doesn't it? Your testimony, well, I don't want nothing to do with that. Or they see your testimony. They see how you are and you're gracious in your speech and the way you carry yourself and your forgiveness and grace and all of that. And they go, well, yeah, that's a Christian right there. That's what it is. You think through with me today. There are principles that we ought to live by and follow and keep to. God's called all of us, Paul says, to live the principled life. I'm going to not be brought under the power of any. I'm going to have a disciplined life. Sad to say today that many people and many Christians and many churches, they're just downright lazy Christians. They're just lazy. They're lackadaisical. They're never in the Word. They're half asleep most of the time. Reading the Bible's too boring. Studying the Scripture's too boring. Try that tomorrow at work. I'm not coming in because it's too boring. I don't want to come in. I don't want to do that. You think about today, if we put more emphasis in the Word of God, put more emphasis in reaching souls for Christ, more emphasis in, hey, am I representing Jesus Christ? Am I following Him? If what my life and what I'm going through, by the way, some of you are going through some real difficult things right now. And I won't mention it because they're private things. You ought to look at it as most of you have, and I appreciate your sweet spirit and testimony of saying, you know what? It's not about me. It's not about me. This disease, this debilitating news, this horrific news I've just received, or something that I was hoping to do and I didn't get to do it. But I realize it's not about me, it's about Him. I want to serve Christ and be faithful in that, and I want Him to be glorified in all of it. And even so, as many of you have mentioned, even if it costs me everything, I'm not able to say that. Most of you in here impress me. I mean, I just look up to you because of your faith. Most of you in here work. Some of you are retired, but many of you in here work every day around ungodly people. I look up to that. You work around things and people and in an environment where it's very hard and harsh. Some of you remember those days. Trying to stand for Christ. Yeah, Brother Tim, preach it. Easy for you to say, and that's true. Hard to understand. I want to live a principled life where I bring glory to Him and lift Him up, and I hope you do. I want to encourage you this week to keep in this book. Stay in the Bible. Stay in the Bible. I know it's hard to do. I know you have days you miss and skip, and it's hard with life and kids and family and everything going on. Get in the book. If you do not have a Bible, we have Bibles that we will give to you over there in the back. If you do not know, if you are not a part of a local church, I want you to consider joining our church. This is a Bible preaching, Bible teaching church, and that's the church you need to look for. Not a church that's got all these activities. What do you got for the kids? What do you got for the teens? Now, those are good, and I appreciate these churches that do that. But our church, we emphasize the Bible. I know it can be redundant sometimes and monotonous, but the Bible, that's what we push. It's what we preach. You, in your marriage, some of you are newlyweds. You got to get in this book as a family, okay? I've counseled too many couples and people. They fell apart at the seams. And where did it start? Missing church, not in the Bible. They're not even sure if their spouse is saved. Let's handle those things. Some of you in here today are living on a prayer. I mean, a wing in a prayer. You're living. You don't know what to do. You don't know what's coming tomorrow. I want to encourage you, get closer to God. Why? Because I believe it, as I said in the beginning. We're not too far away. Do you believe that? We're not too far away. You know anything about this Bible? Things are being set up right now that are aligning to a T with the Bible, with Scripture. If you've got your head in the sand and not sure of what's happening around the world, I'd encourage you to figure out what's going on. Because God is working right now, and I'm so glad that we're in the house of God on Sunday morning. You prioritize this, and if you were to stand before Christ tomorrow, heaven forbid an accident were to happen or something were to go on, and He were to take you home tomorrow, wouldn't you want to say, God, I was in church yesterday. I was where I was supposed to be. I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. Oh, all of us need growth. Pray for me, by the way. I need help. I need growth. I need development. I need strength to live the principled life more than all of you. And I thank you for your prayers. This week, let's go forward. Let's be faithful to God. Listen, let's handle some of these things. Let's not be entrapped with or enslaved with things that are keeping us from serving God faithfully like we're supposed to. Next week, we're going to talk a little bit more about what Paul says about the conscience, the clear conscience. God gave us a conscience for a reason. The word conscience, C-O-N, means with, and the word science means knowledge. It's having knowledge of. That's what God has given to all of us. Knowledge of what's right and wrong. Knowledge of if I'm supposed to do that or not supposed to do that. We know it. But you and I, let's live the principled life. Why? Because we're in the world. We're not of the world. If we were of the world, you know what Jesus said to Pilate? He said, my kingdom's not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, Pilate, my servants would fight. But he says, since this is not my kingdom, they don't fight. God could have called down legions of angels, could have called down, as old song says, 10,000 angels. But he said he didn't. He died alone for you and me. This is not his kingdom. One day it's coming. He'll set up, he'll take care of business, and we'll be set. Amen? I'm looking forward to that day. Are you living the principled life? I want to encourage you to do that. Keep focused, stay faithful, and he will bless. Would you stand with me? We'll stop there. Thank you for being so faithful on Sundays. Again, I want to encourage you to come back, if you will, on Wednesday at 6 o'clock as we continue to study the Word of God. But I thank you. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We praise you for what you've done. We ask that you'd speak to our hearts. If some today have made a decision to say, Lord, I want to live the principled life that I may lead others to Christ and that I ultimately would bring glory to you, I pray you'd help those, Lord, that have made that commitment. There may be some in here today that do not know you as their personal Savior. They say, I've never really thought about that. I've never thought about it. I can have eternity, eternal life with Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that you'd open that door that I may be able to share the gospel with them through the Word of God. Those of us here today that are saved, would you help us? Would you guide us as we go another week out into the world? Strengthen us and keep your hedge about us. We thank and love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.